You're listening to the Blissful Bites podcast, episode 144.
Welcome to Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Each week, we bring you a successful woman, inspiring message, or business tip to help you build a sustainable business you're proud of. Now, your host, Nicole Culver.
Welcome to our business episode this week. I am so excited to be here with you and introduce our guest, Katie Dalebout. I was so excited to be interviewing Katie because I've been following her for a long time and I really look up to her as an entrepreneur, as a podcaster, and we have a lot of things in common. We had a really great chat and I look forward to working with her again in the future. So be sure to come over to the Facebook community and say hi and let me know what you think of these podcast episodes. You can find the community at NicoleCulverBlog.com/community. And let's get right into the interview with Katie Dalebout. First, let's have a word with our sponsor, ConvertKit. I'm really excited to be able to bring you a free month to ConvertKit. I started using ConvertKit back in January, and it's been really, really effective for my own email marketing. If you have a blog or you have your own business, you know email marketing is so, so important. And this platform, ConvertKit, was actually designed specifically with bloggers and small business owners in mind. ConvertKit was actually made by professional bloggers, and it has a very simple, minimal design and really powerful features that will help you grow your revenue. If you want to check out ConvertKit and you want to grow your own platform and business through email marketing, you have to check it out. When you check it out with my link, you will get a free month. So go to NicoleCulverBlog.com/ConvertKit and get your free month now. Katie Dalebout is a writer, workshop host, yoga teacher, and podcast host. She explores creativity and has a gateway to developing a positive body image and true holistic wellness. She's a contributor to Refinery 29, Mind Body Green, and her work has been featured in Teen Vogue, Yahoo Health, and the Daily Mail. Her first book was published with Hay House in April 2016 and is a collection of journaling tools to help people find self-acceptance beyond their physicality. Hi, Katie.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm just so excited. We were having some Skype issues just to let everyone else in, and I'm so glad that it's working now and I get to be here and chat with you. It's going to be fun.
Yes, I've had so many technology issues over the past week from like webinars, and so Skype did not surprise me today, but I'm happy we got to connect on Zoom.
Me too.
So tell everyone a little bit about you and everything you do. I know you do a lot.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm just a person. I started a blog that was called The Wellness Wonderland when I was in college. And I, at the time, I just loved reading blogs. I loved design blogs and fashion blogs and wellness blogs. And like I said, during that time, I was reading them and I was kind of like, oh, I could do that. And I was really into health and wellness and yoga at that time. So that's kind of what the topic of my particular blog became. And I loved it. I loved, you know, kind of sharing what I was into in this really personal, real-time way and building community and finding people all over the world, all over the country that were into similar things as I was. That was really alluring to me. And you know, what I realized in the process was, you know, I had an eating disorder in college that kind of spiraled and turned into, morphed into, you know, what that term a lot of us have heard now, orthorexia, which is getting too into healthy living and eating and clean eating and exercise, where it affects the rest of your life. And so, you know, my anorexia kind of, I sort of tried to heal it through orthorexia. And I realized this all while I was blogging under the blog, The Wellness Wonderland. So I kind of brought my readers along with me through this journey. And I always say, you know, that my blog has had many iterations as I've had many iterations, which is true. And that blog turned into a podcast by the same name, The Wellness Wonderland, and then eventually into a book deal with Hay House. And my book was called Let It Out. And when the book was coming out, my publisher was like, you know, it would be cool if you could change your website name to be your name, just so people aren't confused. Like, who is the Wellness Wonderland? So I changed it to my name. And then I ended up moving away from the Wellness Wonderland. I love that term. And I think it could really embody, you know, what I think of true wellness as being, which isn't just making your body really beautiful. It's about making your life as a whole really beautiful and wonderful. And that's your relationships, your career, your creativity, and also, you know, your physical body feeling really great, but not just that. And so I could kind of use that as an umbrella term, but I ended up moving away from that when my book came out. And my book is about journaling and it's called Let It Out. So I thought that actually was a great name for a podcast. So my podcast morphed into being called Let It Out with Me. And so that is also the name of my book. And then, you know, my website, I still blog. I don't blog as much because I think kind of the landscape of blogging has changed. And so now I really, you know, I write this weekly-ish newsletter that I, you know, kind of share what's inspiring to me in real time. And it's just kind of like a small community. And I do the podcast every week still. I've gotten to meet and interview and speak with some of my biggest idols, from, you know, my favorite filmmaker to my favorite author to, you know, my favorite podcast host. So I've really gotten to speak to some fantastic people and meet so many fantastic people through, you know, like yourself, through this podcasting community. So that's what I do now. And I really just kind of gather what's inspiring to me and share that on the internet through, you know, social media, through my writing, my work, my creativity. And that's kind of what I do. So you can feel free to flesh out anything from that. I kind of did a short version, but I'm an open book. I'll talk about anything.
I love that. And isn't it funny? Because I found the same thing with podcasts. I get to talk to so many amazing people and it's kind of self-serving, even though you're sharing it with your podcast audience. But I feel the same way. It's like, oh, I get to talk to these amazing people today and then I get to share it. It's like the best job.
Oh, totally. I mean, I think podcasting is the new networking. You know, when people, I get a lot of emails from people and a lot of questions being like, how did you get this person to become your mentor? How did, you know, you get Gabby Bernstein to write the foreword to your book? Or how, you know, how did you network with these people? And I really think that podcasting is the new networking. So, you know, I tell people to start a podcast. I think it's a little bit different now because I started my podcast in early 2013 when, you know, still it was pre-serial, so nobody knew what podcasts were, you know. But now I think they're kind of becoming what blogging was like 10 years ago, but I still think everyone should have a podcast. It's not that hard. You have to put yourself out there. And I mean, it does become a lot of work on the back end just to kind of maintain, but you know, anybody can do it if you put in the time, and it's so worth it just purely for the community. It's the community of the people that we interview, but also the getting to meet the people who listen. I feel like they already feel like they know me because I am so real on the podcast. It's really hard to hide and to change your persona when you're podcasting because you're speaking and you're speaking for sometimes a very long time. So it's different from writing or blogging, I think, when you can kind of morph into whoever you want to sound like. But with podcasting, you're really yourself, or I am, and I'm sure you are too, you know? It's an intimate relationship we get to have with both the guests and the listeners, I think.
Yeah, and you can't hide your tone. Your tone is your tone. So people, I feel like, really, really get to know you through that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how did you actually start your podcast? Because starting it in 2013, I can't even like think about where I was in 2013, right? Let alone like podcasting. So do you still get that question a lot? Because I started only last February and I still get that question a lot.
Yeah, I do. And I kind of have like an email that I like go to send people because I get that question so often. You know, I was very lucky when I was in college, like I mentioned, and I was reading all of those blogs. I had a boyfriend at the time who really helped me out a lot. And I was like, oh, I really want to have a blog. I love reading this. And I was like, you know, I could do that. And he built me a website and got me going and was kind of like, you know, like put a dog in the pool and was like, go swim, you know? And I started listening to a lot of podcasts in 2013 because I moved out on my own. I was living alone and I was lonely. And so I was like driving a lot and I just, they were comforting to me. And I've always been an auditory learner. I've always loved, you know, audio content and audio books and listening to things, being read a story. So they just worked for me in my life. And again, since I was consuming so many of them, just that, like I had previously been doing with the blogs, I was kind of like, oh, I could do that. And so I went to him again and he was tired of hearing me talk about it. And so same thing. He was like, all right, he was really good with technology. And next thing I know, it was up on iTunes and he helped me and it was there. So I had someone in my life at the time which I'm so grateful for, because I honestly would not be here right now if I hadn't had that gave me that push and was like, all right, you just do the things that you can do best, which are like curating the people, reaching out to the people, you know, creating the content, and I'll figure out the technology side, which really overwhelms me. And when something gets hard like that, I just stop. I freeze and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do it. Never mind. You know? And he pushed me because he actually did that for me. He, you know, bought me a podcasting mic and like set up, you know, call recorder and like, you know, got it on iTunes and like did all those things for me that I didn't have to do, which again, that is not what I would coach other people to do. I would say, you know, everything is Googleable, everything is figure outable. You don't need a boyfriend to do that. I don't have that anymore. You know, now I learned how to edit in GarageBand and I learned how to eventually outsource that to someone else and you figure it out. You know, it was actually a really good personal growth experience for me. You know, in 2013, I had just graduated from college. I had just moved out on my own for the first time in my life, living alone without roommates. And it was a growth experience for me to figure out how to do this and create, you know, this online thing that I do now. So yeah, that was kind of feel free to ask any like additional questions for that.
Yeah. But yeah. So something that I've talked a lot about on the podcast with other entrepreneurs is just that ability to figure it out and how that kind of sets you apart as an entrepreneur, because you could either, like you said, sulk and be like, well, I don't know how to do this. I'm just going to stop. Or you can actually figure it out. And I think that's such a defining factor, because there are two paths, and one, you're going to stop, quit, and give up, and the other, you just kind of power through it.
Yeah. Oh, completely. One of my friends, you might know Kathleen. She does the Being Boss podcast, and she was saying once, you know, she really likened entrepreneurship to working out, she's given that analogy a lot, where, you know, you have to choose. Like, there are some days where you're just kind of calling it in. It's like, all right, at least I made it to the class, or at least I made it to the gym. And then there's the other days when you're like, okay, I've got some energy in me that I need to get out. I'm going to push myself today. I'm going to go a little bit further. And I find that, you know, when I'm working on my computer, it's kind of like that. It's like, all right, I've got these tasks that I'm not thrilled about doing, but I know they're going to move the needle forward for me. So I'm going to push myself. I'm going to do them. And then I'm going to try to do another one, another one. And some days, you know, I'm at the coffee shop and I push myself really to the end. And there are other days when I get the bare minimum done and I'm kind of like, you know what? At least I took the trash out today, you know?
Yes.
And that's okay too. I think we have days either way, but like, you have to be successful, push yourself to have some of those days where you really push yourself. And that means, you know, there are some days, and I'm sure, you know, you are so inspiring to me, Nicole, you know, having two children under the age of 5 and doing everything you do, like, you know, but at the same time, you know, we're all busy. We're all doing lots of different things. It's about creating that balance of like, when do you push yourself? And sometimes you can get so much work done in like 2 hours. And then there are other times where it like takes you all day and you kind of like get nothing done. But it all ends up balancing out if you, you know, have the creative idea and you also take action. It's all about both, like you said. And when it gets hard, asking for help or pushing yourself to figure it out.
Yes. And I will 100% agree with that analogy. And I will say that today was one of those push hard days for me. And we have kind of been missing each other with the podcast appointments. And both of us have just been can we reschedule, just being flexible. I mean, that's part of what this is. And I totally wanted to cop out on this interview because I don't usually work this late. My brain doesn't really even function past 5 o'clock, honestly. And I was like, you know what? I really want to talk to her. We've been putting this off. I'm just going to do it because I had a ton of calls today, but it was one of those days. And yesterday was not one of those days for me. So it is. It's every day is just figure it out. Is it, what kind of day is it going to be for you? And are you going to push through and figure out the balance for you?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, completely. And I, you know, I have those days where I don't get what as much, I'm not as productive as I wanted to be. And I can be really hard on myself on those days. And so on those days, I find I really will kind of go through in my mind and have one side of my mind kind of instruct the other side of telling myself it's okay. And I'll kind of look at my day and be like, okay, yeah, you didn't get as much done as you wanted to, but you had that really important texting conversation with your friend, or you took the trash out, or you went on a walk. You know, I'll kind of add up those little wins and be like, yeah, you maybe didn't get through your entire inbox today. Maybe you didn't, you know, write that newsletter. Maybe you didn't, you know, submit that book proposal, but you did take the trash out. And sometimes that's a win, and you did, you know, make it to yoga class or whatever. And I think counting, when you're an entrepreneur, counting those little wins of like, I showered today is actually important because our time is like so valuable.
Yes. I'm a huge fan of those little wins.
Yeah.
So tell us, did your book deal with Hay House, do you think, or did it come from your podcast and putting yourself out there? How did that whole book deal transpire?
Yeah. You know, I think that that definitely helped. I think that, you know, Reed Tracy, the CEO of Hay House, talks a lot about having a platform and wanting his authors to have a platform. So I went to a Hay House writers workshop in 2013 because my mentor at the time, or still, I guess, Gabby Bernstein happened to be speaking there. And so it was in New York and she told me to go and I did. And there was a contest surrounding this workshop where they taught you how to write a book proposal, and then you had like 9 months to write it because, you know, it's a pretty like intensive thing. You have to do a sample chapter and a competitive analysis, and like, you know, there's like a format to it. So they teach you how to do it, and you have 9 months, and then if you submit it, all of these writers workshops, they choose a winner. I think there's like two people who get a self-publishing deal, and then one person gets a publishing deal with Hay House. And I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, maybe I'll submit to that contest. You know, it kind of puts the fire under your butt to like actually follow through on this thing that you learned at this workshop. So I had sort of an idea for a book and kind of, but I, you know, I really just wanted to go and, you know, hang out with Gabby and kind of see what this was all about. And about, you know, 6 months come and go after the thing, and I hadn't started the book proposal yet. I just didn't have time. I was doing so much stuff and I didn't really have that great of an idea for a book. That book never happened, that old idea I had. And then, you know, the year keeps going by. It has now been 8.5 months. It's due in like 3 weeks. And I had like told my mom, I was like, oh, I'm not submitting to that thing, by the way. And she's like, okay, honey, like focus on other stuff. You know, she didn't care. And then like with 3 weeks left, I got a good idea, or what I thought was a great idea, to write this book about journaling and have it be really interactive. And the title, all of it just kind of flooded me one morning, really early in the morning, while I was journaling, actually. And I kind of wrote the book proposal very, very quickly. And the interesting thing about the story is that, so it was due at midnight on this certain day. And I had, like I said, less, I think it was like 2 weeks. And I couldn't even like work on it entirely those 2 weeks. Like I had to work and do other things, you know? So I was like waking up very early. I like really pushed myself. Those were all push yourself days, you know, to bring this full circle. And I just like did only that. And then it was the night that it was due, and I realized that I wasn't going to get it done. And they were very adamant about like, do not submit a half completed proposal. Like you have to have all these elements or we're not going to look at it. You'll be disqualified. And so I was like, all right, well, it's now 11 p.m. and I don't have like a major part of it completed. I need like more hours to do this. And so I was like, oh, well, so I just went to bed. So I'm in bed and I remember that Hay House is on West Coast time. So I got out of my bed and I had 3 more hours. So I finished the proposal and I submitted it. And then a month later, I was like teaching a yoga event at this yoga event in a football stadium, which is like really random. But anyway, I was there and my phone didn't work. But long story short, I found out that I won. So that's how the book deal came. And I think, you know, so yeah, I submitted the proposal and I won the contest. But I, if I'm being honest, I'm sure that me having a podcast at that time and having, you know, somewhat of a platform and like at least a, you know, some social media probably helped. But, you know, I have to say too, like that was, again, that was 2013. So I had like a third of the followers that I have now. And even now my following isn't, you know, very big, you know, it's all relative, but like, it's not humongous. And back then it was like very minuscule. And, you know, the podcast had been going on for maybe about 6-8 months at that point, but it was, again, not much. So I think part of it was that, and I think usually getting book deals, it is all about your platform. In my case, I kind of had this weird loophole because I won the contest.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. And how did you actually fall in love with journaling?
You know, I think I was really, you know, going through it. My friend calls it GTI, you know, like when someone's like going through something with my body image and food and everything in college. And so, you know, I was surrounded by therapists and mentors and friends and family. And I felt very smothered with support, which is great. However, I felt very lonely and very much alone and detached from myself. Even though I was surrounded by people, I just didn't have any self-awareness. And so I was, you know, really consuming a lot of self-help and personal growth and spirituality. And I was overwhelmed with, you know, trying to change myself because I didn't even really know myself. So I wandered out of the self-help section. I bought a journal and I spent that summer journaling, and it was cathartic to me. You know, it brought me relief. I was able to say these really dark thoughts that I was afraid to admit to even someone safe, like a therapist or a friend or a coach, because I was afraid of being judged, you know, because at the end of the day, like I wanted my therapist to like me, you know. And then also, you know, I was able to claim these really light thoughts, these lofty goals and hopes and dreams that, again, I was too afraid to claim to someone else because I didn't want to be judged. I didn't want to be like laughed at or told that they were silly. So I wasn't, you know, really admitting those to anyone either. So in my journal, I was able to take these thoughts out of my mind onto the page and kind of sort through, you know, what's true, what are limiting beliefs holding me back, and develop self-awareness of like who I really am without these masks I wear to the world. And I think self-awareness is key to growth. It's key to development. It's key to improving. You know, you can't really go somewhere else if you don't know where you are. So I think that self-awareness piece was so helpful to me, and that's how I got started with it. And I kind of started prescribing it, if you will, to other people. You know, when people were like asking me, oh, I'm going through this weird relationship thing, or, you know, oh, my body or whatever, I'd be like, you know, have you journaled? I know it's kind of weird, but like I do this thing, and, you know, and people would be so resistant to it. You know, they would be like, oh, you know, I'm not a writer. I wouldn't have anything to say. I don't have time, blah, blah, blah. And I realized, you know, I'm not a writer really either. And I don't really have anything to say, but somehow I find this cathartic and somehow this is relief for me. So I started to give people prompts and ask people questions. And that essentially became my book. It's 55 journaling exercises, journaling prompts. It's super interactive. And, you know, there's tools on getting organized, tools on feeling your feelings and releasing things and, you know, relationships and all sorts of things, creativity for sure. And then, you know, it's kind of a little bit memoir-y with like bits and pieces of me and my story in between there. But yeah, it really came from my loving journaling to the point where it made me feel better when I did it. And that's really all I knew at the time. I ended up researching it for the book that, you know, it's been proven expressive writing is directly related to improving happiness, which is, there's a study that was done, which was really cool out of North Carolina. But, you know, I didn't know that at the time. That was proved to me by my research. But at the time, I just knew it to be true for me.
I actually just started journaling September 1st, and I also felt like that. I had no idea what to say, so I actually set a timer for 3 minutes and just wrote whatever came to my head. But what do you think is that first prompt you would give someone who has no idea what to start out and who doesn't have your book yet?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would say, if you want more where this comes from, go check out the book. However, the best question I always give people to start with is ask yourself, how are you feeling right now? And that might sound really elementary and silly and like, oh, people ask me how I'm feeling all day long. Yeah, but like, do you really give them the answer? You know, is it the time to give your Uber driver like a full analysis of how you're actually doing? Probably not, you know? So you say good and you shove it down and you're like, I'll deal with that later. Right. So I think really dealing with your things like while you're in it and being like, okay, this is what I'm feeling right now. I need to process this. Sometimes I feel like pregnant with an emotion I need to process, and just simply asking yourself, how are you feeling right now? And getting honest, knowing that no one else is going to read this, this is exclusively for you, is so healing and so cathartic and something I think everyone should try. And I love that what you said about, you know, the 3 minutes, just you can do anything for 3 minutes, right?
So yeah, that was exactly my thinking. And now I could write forever, I feel like.
Yeah.
I love that topic though. How are you feeling right now? I think that's such a great way to start, especially since, like you said, how many times are you saying, oh, I'm good throughout the day?
Oh yeah, totally. You know, I have a friend that like had something traumatic happen to her on the subway years ago. And she was like, yeah, this traumatic thing happened. And I just remember it happening. And of course you're not like going to deal with it then, you're on the subway, right? So she was like, I can just put that somewhere. And forgot about it, you know? And like, that's fine. We have to do that in life to protect ourselves. You know, if you are in a weird conversation on a date, you can't like stop and like deal with that and like feel that awkwardness. You kind of have to stuff it down and like go back to the date. Or if you have like a angry conversation with someone at work, you can't like feel your feelings and cry and like be there. You have to stuff it down. And when I say stuff it down, like sometimes it's literally like putting it somewhere and coping by doing a coping mechanism, right? And we all have different coping mechanisms that are most comforting to us, you know? So for some of us, it's food. For some of us, it's controlling our food. It's under eating, overeating, exercising, over exercising. For others of us, it's, you know, drugs or alcohol or, you know, relationship stuff. Like there's so many coping mechanisms that we can do. Sometimes it's social media, whatever. For me, it's like a little bit of all of those things, you know? I'm not like doing heavy drugs, but like I do sometimes like overeat or undereat or, you know, get on the computer when I know I'm doing it as a coping mechanism, you know? So I think sometimes those things are okay, but sometimes you have to tell yourself like, I'm actually going to feel this, to release this so I can move on with my life, you know? And I think journaling is really the time to do that. It's not always pretty. It doesn't always feel good, but it is important. And if you don't do it, it's going to kind of bubble up to the surface. It's kind of like trying to keep a beach ball underwater. If you just let it out, it doesn't make a huge splash. But if you keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, eventually it's going to pop out and it's going to like make a huge splash in your life. So
is there a time for you? I'm sure it's different for every person, but have you found like you do it first thing in the morning before you go to bed? Is there one time of day that just works best for you, or do you journal throughout the day?
Yeah, I was getting that question quite a lot when the book came out about like, when is the best time or when do you do it? And, you know, to be honest, I think it's different for everyone. I don't want to add another self-care thing to our plates. You know, I just think especially as women, and I'm assuming that's primarily who's listening to this, like we have so many to-dos, your hair and your nails and like just silly things like that, and really real things like taking care of your family and your children and your parents and your career. And there's so many things. And so I don't want to add another one. However, this one is so crucial that I think finding a time that works for you, whatever that is really important. For me, you know, I'll just speak to myself right now. Sometimes, I think ideally I'd love to do it in the morning. I don't really do it in the morning. I have before. I've gone through periods in my life when I do. Currently, I've been journaling on my computer in my bed at night. I just have like a document on my computer, and that's felt really good to me. I keep a gratitude journal, like a physical one, by my bed. I have a quote journal. You know, I have kind of more like a to-do list one that I use in the mornings a little bit, you know, so for me, it kind of varies, but you know, on the weekends I might do more of like a morning pages style journaling where I will start with it first thing in the morning when I have a bit more time. It really just depends, but I'm not hard on myself. And then there's other times where I find myself being what I call in the book, I think I say this in the book, an SOS journaler, which is like something happens in your life that you need to process. And you're like, wait, what even happened there? Like, you know, and then I'll journal about it. That comes a lot for me. Like when I'm on planes a lot. So I tend to journal a lot on planes, and like I purposely like won't buy the internet, and I'll journal. I find that really beautiful. And I'll usually like write about the experience I just had. And like, you know, I had to go on like the local news when the book came out, and the reporter asked me, she's like, what's the difference between a diary and a journal? And I thought that, I was like, oh, that's an interesting question. And I didn't really know, but I had to like say something really quick because it's like a 3-minute segment or something. And so I was just like, well, I think a diary is writing about what happened, and a journaling to me is writing about how you feel about what happened. And so that's what I'll do, you know, kind of on the plane, is a more SOS journaling thing where I'll process what just happened and how I felt about it. So I think, you know, people can go either way. They can be SOS journalers, or they can be maintenance journalers, where it's like every day at a certain time, they sit down and they set a timer for 3 minutes, or they, you know, give themselves an hour or whatever they can do. Or, you know, every once in a while, every couple of weeks, every couple of months, they spend some time and just kind of check in with themselves for self-awareness. I think either way is just as good. You know, I could easily say, oh, it'd be better to do it every day. But, you know, that might not work for you, and that might stress you out. I think the most important thing is to like not beat yourself up regardless of what you do.
Yeah. Sounds like there are a lot of parallels to just fitness and wellness in general, just finding what works for you, and don't beat yourself up and do kind of what makes you happy, but just start because it'll be really good for you.
Yeah. 100%.
How did you get into, just switching gears a little bit, how did you get into doing live podcasting?
Oh yeah. No, that's a nice question. I listen to a lot of podcasts that have live episodes, and I've always wanted to do that. You know, my dream in life, this is like my dream. I tell like only my friends this, but you know, I've never maybe said this on a podcast or anything. I want to have a like talk show and you know, it doesn't even have to be on TV or recorded. I just want to do it live. I want to have like live people in the audience. I would do it in my apartment. You know, I would do it anywhere. I just want to like talk to people and have a live audience and take live questions and like, you know, have someone play music and host. Like I love hosting. I love hosting parties. I love hosting people, you know, to stay with me. I just love hosting it. And I think I'm, you know, relatively like okay at it. So I would love to do that more actually and travel and do that. So if anyone's listening and wants to like sponsor that, you know, feel free. But you know, the way I started it was just like, I want to start doing this. So when my book came out, I did my first, I've only done this twice actually, Nicole, but I have done two of them and they went really, really well. So the first one I did in New York City as a swap cast with my friend Christy Harrison, who hosts the podcast Food Psych, which if you haven't checked out, you totally should. She's amazing. And we got a panel of really dope ladies to come on this podcast episode. We had Kelsey Miller from Refinery 29. We had Caroline Dooner, and she played a song in her ukulele. It was dope. We had a therapist. We had Cece Olisa, who is a like really rad plus size model. She's so cool. And yeah, we hosted the show together. We rented a theater. We had so many listeners of both of our podcasts there. It was just it was a fantastic experience. Somebody asked me recently about, you know, like what's my favorite podcast I've ever done? And I said that one just because it was so fun for me to host. So I love that. And then I took that on the road. I did the next one in Toronto this summer. I just had a panel, I guess, of, you know, two guests. I just hosted it by myself, but I got a space and I had two guests, my friend Davida, who you mentioned before, or maybe we weren't recording then, but my friend Davida, she's the Healthy Maven. She's a blogger. She's fantastic. And my friend, Mickey, who is a YouTuber. She's Health Nut Nutrition. She's a very famous YouTuber. And I had them on and we just chatted. You know, the three of us have hung out before. We're good friends. And I love them both. I'd been wanting to have them both on the podcast anyway. So I was like, all right, I'll just kill two birds with one stone and invite people to come out and have a drink and hang out while they're there in the city. And so we had people drive in from Niagara Falls. We had, you know, just a good group of people who, you know, listened to the podcast that came out to that I got to meet. And, you know, we just recorded it live, which was super fun. It's actually airing next week. So those are the only two that I've done. I'm going to be doing one in LA pretty soon. And I want to do them all over the world and I want to do them more frequently, but I don't know if I'm doing it right or if I'm doing it, you know, in the best way by any means. I just sort of started and I'm going to keep doing it. I'm definitely going to do one here in Detroit. And yeah, we should do one together in New York.
Yeah, we should. It's funny because I was thinking of doing one in this fall and I ended up doing an online summit and it just didn't work out. But when I was thinking of trying to put one together and it really didn't work out. It wasn't meant to be because all the venues, I had called the place, I saw your Instagram and I called that place. No one came back to me. So it was like the universe telling me it was totally not the right time. And it ended up working out because I put on an online summit, but I saw yours and I listened to the one that was in New York and I loved it so much. So I would love to do one with you.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Let's plan it like after this. Well, or not tonight. Cause I know you're tired. Like, we'll plan it. Yeah, no, it's okay. We'll plan it for like the new year, like in January or something.
Yeah, I would 100% love that.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
My last question for you before you go is, what is your most favorite thing you are working on right now?
Nice question. Gosh, I could say so many different things. You know, I'm just going to be really honest and I hope this isn't like too weird, but I've honestly been kind of going through a phase where I haven't been creating as much as I've been wanting to. And it's actually been like pretty frustrating to me. I've just been kind of stuck in the admin stuff. I've been traveling a lot and I've just kind of been keeping up with the day to day of like having a podcast and traveling a lot for work and doing a lot of things, juggling a lot of hats and kind of feeling like a master of none. So I'm really excited about kind of hunkering down and getting back to work and getting back to figuring things out. I have an idea for a second book that I'm pretty jazzed about, but I guess, you know, the thing that I'm most excited about probably is my podcast. I want to keep podcasting till I'm 90. I love it. Yeah, I'm not even really recording new episodes right now. I'm just kind of putting out the ones that I've previously recorded. So I'm not actually like working on it even really. But I love it. And I love that it exists. And I love the people, the community that it has. So that's probably my favorite thing I'm creating right now. But now I'm trying to work on the second book and see if it has feet. So yeah.
I love that. And I mean, who hasn't felt like that master of none feeling?
Yeah, it's such a bummer, right?
Or whatever.
Yeah, okay, good. I'm glad I'm not alone, but yeah, I can totally feel that way just because, you know, we wear a lot of hats. So.
Yeah, it is. But you have an amazing podcast and I'm so excited that you were here today and I really look forward to working together again.
Oh my God, yeah. Like we're going to hang out in New York and it's going to be so much fun. I can't wait.
Totally are. And just tell everyone if they don't know already where they can find your book and where they can find your podcast and your website and everything.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Thank you so much. You know, my book, you could go to Barnes & Noble or, you know, any bookshop that you like and pick it up. And if they're out, you know, tell them to order it. They would be happy to do that for you. Or you can just go, you know, to Amazon or of course my website, it's just myname.com. You know, you can give me a quick Google and I'll pop right up. But yeah, you know, my social media is just my name, Katie Dalebout at, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all the things. And I like social media a whole lot. So I'm there a bunch.
Well, thank you for being with us today. You really were so much fun.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. We should email tomorrow about setting up our collaboration and hanging out IRL.
So they can all look forward to that.
Yeah, for sure. I can't wait.
You can find all information about Katie in our show notes at NicoleCulverBlog.com/podcast.
This has been Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Thanks for listening.